If you are blind, becoming a filmmaker is not the obvious career choice. But the man you're about to meet certainly isn't scared of a challenge. His name is Goff. He is the first legally blind person to write, produce, direct, edit, and star in a feature film. Goff is the founder of Beernuts Productions. Hello, Goff.
How you doing, Rebecca?
I'm well, thank you. How much can you see, Goff?
I can't see at all out of my right eye and have very limited vision out of my left. So basically the easiest way to describe it is without my glasses, I can't read print pretty much.
Okay, yes, because I was surprised tonight. You and I have been emailing for a while, had a couple of phone calls. I knew that your vision was not... I knew that you were legally blind, and yet when I went out and shook your hand tonight, you walked into the studio, no problems at all.
Well, yeah, you know, I try my best not to bump into things, you know, but to be honest, it's a very easy sort of setup that you guys have here.
Yes.
I mean, you know, there's nothing blocking my way. If you had a garbage bin in the middle of the doorway, I might have fallen over, but you try and obviously get around best you can. So
of course, yeah, and you're doing pretty damn well, that's for sure. What caused your blindness?
When I was about 12 weeks old, the whooping cough immunization, I had a hemorrhagic stroke, which is kind of like a brain hemorrhage come stroke, and so that caused me to lose my vision.
And that was at...
I think you have your whooping cough jab at about 12 weeks. That's a guess. I'm not 100% sure, but I know it was the first immunisation the babies have is your whooping cough. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you've never gone through life having full vision in either one of your eyes. It's not the deterioration was fairly.
Yeah, it was then and there. So
then and there.
Yeah, because the stroke. I'm no doctor, but the stroke causes blood vessels to burst in your brain, and that pretty much it can kill some people. So I was apparently pretty crook for a few weeks there. That pump a lot of blood into me and all that sort of stuff, and the end result was I end up losing my vision.
Okay. But grow up you did. Choose a career path.
Well, you say
you
grow
did.
Up. I mean, that's well, people are still debating.
It's an ongoing process. You have now chosen to work in a visual medium. How did you get into filmmaking?
Well, I've always been interested in storytelling and entertaining people. I started when I finished high school. I worked at a radio station doing audio producing, like the ads and promos and that sort of stuff. And I also toured around doing stand-up comedy as well. So I've always been, you know, doing that kind of thing and writing and all that sort of stuff. And I just thought one day I want to start producing the work that I've written. So I figure I went to some different people, but they thought I was a bit mad wanting to, you know, produce the work that I wanted to do. So I thought I'd just start up my own company, Beernuts Productions, which I did. So, yeah.
Brilliant. I love it. My guest is Goff. He is legally blind. He is a filmmaker. Indeed, I've seen some of the films that he has made, in spite of the fact that he can't really see that much at all. So, Goff, how do you make a film?
Well, with a great deal of difficulty, but...
Yeah. Talk us through it, though.
Well, the shooting is the most difficult part because, obviously, I can't see much through the viewfinder. So, the shooting is the part that I struggle with the most, but, we get everybody in shot and on camera and framed reasonably well. Editing's reasonably easy because it's like editing a 90-minute radio play. So I just... Do it by sound with the editing, but it is shooting where I struggle with. I do have a guy now that I know who helps me out with the equipment and stuff like that, which is really, really cool of him. And he helps me out to just framing the shots nice and properly for me because that's the part where I do struggle is the actual shooting of the film itself.
Yes, okay, but in the editing process, if you use the audio, you're using the takes where you like the tone or the emphasis the best.
I produce, so I wrote it, so I know how I want it delivered and all that sort of stuff. So, again, there's a lot of trust with the actors that I use to make sure that they're doing what I ask them to do, and I can always tell with their voice if they're doing what I want them to do. It's with their face. Facial expressions, obviously, I struggle with. So, again, Simon will tell me, he'll say, you know, she's pulling good face in this particular shot or something like that, so I know, but I always go off sound more than anything else because I always figure it's better for it to sound perfect than, you know, that's the most important thing because sound is believable to me, you know, so.
Mm. And how do the actors respond when, they obviously know you have a production company, presumably at some point you're recruiting your cast and crew, when they find out that you are legally blind, how do they respond?
Well, if they want the gig, they're going to respond well. let's be honest. I haven't had too much trouble, to be honest. Most of them are pretty cool. Some of them have been, I don't want to say a bit weird because that's not the right word, but they've been a bit strange in that they weren't sure how to handle it because it is obviously a bit of a unique situation. Yeah. So they weren't quite sure how to broach it. You know, should I do this or should I do that sort of thing, which is fair enough. But it really doesn't cause any dramas or issues. No one's kicked up a stink or anything of that nature, so it's all good.
I want to get to your latest short film, The Advertising Meeting, in just a moment. But take us back to the first feature film that you made, and that was called I Will Not Go Quietly. What was that about?
Well, that was a documentary I made about disability and mental health because I found through my own experience that a lot of people weren't quite understanding all the different issues that go along with disability and mental health. So I thought the best way to do it is to make a film about it and try and explain it the best I can, you know, with a bit of humour thrown in there. And I interviewed some really, really great experts, psychologists and school teachers and a neurosurgeon, even about the brain. So it turned out, I was really, really pleased with how that particular project turned out.
Yeah, and it was a documentary and based on you.
Yes.
Your life experience.
Yeah, well, I figure the best way to explain something is to give an example. Like with anything in life, I always find I understand things a lot more clearer if a good example is given to me. So I figured I'd do that with the film as well. If I give an example as well, give facts, then people can sort of marry the two up.
Yeah. You have had some pretty difficult times in your life and, you know, you suffered from depression. What was happening? What were you, what was happening at some of those darker times in your life?
Well, it was mainly brought about through frustration and anger with society in general, not sort of getting what I can do and what I want to do, and so that's sort of where the documentary was bred from, was more of frustration and anger that you know, because I was having a chat to someone today, and I said to them, it's a lot of ignorance out there, but it's not intentional ignorance. You know, people don't mean to be mean; they just don't understand because no one's actually talk to them about mental health and disability and that kind of stuff. So if people don't, if people aren't educated, then you can't really blame them for not understanding something. But it did cause me a lot of grief when I was a bit younger because, you know, I couldn't understand myself, you know, because I'm getting frustrated that people weren't, you know, picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it just built up and built up, and all that frustration just built up over a long period of time.
How low did you get?
Oh, pretty low, it's got to be said. Yeah, no doubt about that. There was some really, really dark times, which obviously weren't very pleasant at all. Look, I managed to sort of get myself out of it. I had some help with a few different people along the way who helped me out and slapped me about a bit and gave me a good talking to, which was helpful. But yeah, no, there's no doubt it can get pretty dark if you don't get your issues and whatnot sorted out. You can find yourself in real strife. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, the themes you're tying in there, disability and mental health. Have you found in amongst some of your friends or circles that you move in that if a person has a disability, they are often pigeonholed, or that society says, oh, you know, you're legally blind, or you have this, or you have that, therefore you can't do
absolutely
particular things.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question. There's absolutely no doubt that that is the case, and that's what I was meaning by unintentional ignorance. They just don't get it. So that's why, like with BNuts Productions, that's why I started that up, because no one would give me a go to do what I wanted to do. So I thought, well, bugger it, I'll just do it by myself then. You know, I'll start up the company. I'll start making the projects myself. So, yeah. But no, to answer your question, there's absolutely no doubt that that is pigeonholing happens all the time. There's absolutely no question.
My guest is Gough, and yes, Gough only has one name. He's just a one-name man. Gough is the founder of Beer Nuts Productions. Why do you call it Beer Nuts, by the way?
Well, I just thought it was humorous. I thought, you know, why not?
And who doesn't like Beer Nuts?
It's a name not many people forget, Beer Nuts Productions, let's be honest. It's, you know, not too many people have asked me twice.
Another name that people will certainly remember is Ugly Dave Gray. That's your dad.
That's right.
Which a lot of people will remember Ugly Dave Gray from Blankety Blanks. What influence did he have on your career path, which, as you said, has gone from radio to stand-up comedy? You've performed all over the world. You've got your own production now.
Yeah, no, it's to be honest, he sort of just leaves me alone and lets me do my own thing. You know, he sort of just stands in the background there. Because really, it's very different things that we're doing. You know, I'm writing and producing and making films and whatnot, and his sort of side of things is very, very different. So he just sits back and lets me go for it.
What about the rest of your family? Because sometimes family members can be great for supporting someone and saying, yeah, go on, you can do it. And sometimes family members can be brutal in their assessment of what they think you can and can't do.
Yeah, no, that's a fair call.
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like no.
Sometimes it can take, it'll be a sibling who bowls up and says, sit down, you can't do that. Yeah. And, you know, they can be the ones you have the biggest Barneys with.
Yeah, well, my sister and I suppose, would be a little bit on that level. We've had some good Barneys, as you put it, over the stretch. She's actually a hairdresser, so I used to get my own back by, because I've got all my hair fell out, so I used to rush into a hairdressing salon and just scream out, I wish to register a complaint.
That's hilarious.
And everyone would turn around. She said, it's just my idiot brother. Just ignore him. So, yeah,
Did you seriously do that?
Yeah, I used to do that all the time.
Good for business.
Yeah, well, you know, got to help out where I can.
All right. So you can give as good as you get. It is interesting, though, Gough, that you, you know, working in radio and in stand-up, where have you performed stand-up-wise?
I found it a bit difficult in Australia for a few different reasons. So I went overseas, and so I toured the UK, and then I toured Canada and America, which was really great. I really enjoyed Canada and America. I got mainly because I got a lot of work, but also the crowds were really great, and also the agents would send me to some crazy little one horse towns. You know, like I toured in Canada. I did a 6-week tour for all the Rig Pigs up northern Canada on the Yukon. So you know, it's 11-12 hour drive. Me and the other comedian, we just drive to the next oil rig town. There's 200 lads there that have been working for a week. We're like the strippers. We're their entertainment for the week, and so they just want a good time and want a party, and so we party with those boys, and then we're back in the car the next day. And lucky I can't drive, obviously, so the other comedian was always having to do the driving. So
nice.
It was it was crazy. And then down in America, I did New York and Florida and Chicago and LA. It was really great, really, really cool.
Why did it, you said you found it difficult in Australia to do stand up for certain reasons? Why?
Well, a couple of reasons. Mainly travel is a problem, because obviously, like I say, I can't drive, so I've got to rely on public transport, and the public transport isn't crash hot in this country. The pay isn't as good over here as it is overseas. So obviously all my money is going towards transport and whatnot, and there's just not the rooms that there are overseas. There's not the there's a lot of comedians over here and not many clubs, which is a shame, because I would urge everybody listening to go out and find local entertainment and support local entertainment. I couldn't be a bigger fan, even if it's just a dude playing a guitar in a corner. I think I would much prefer to go somewhere and watch a live comedy show, or, you know, because I mean, lots of the local pubs used to do live comedy around Brisbane, but a lot of them don't anymore because the punters just didn't show up, sadly enough. So, yeah, there was a few. They were the main reasons why I sort of gave it away in this country.
I love your energy, Gough. It's fantastic. You have just completed your latest short film, The Advertising Meeting.
That's right. Well, basically, I've done a couple, actually, Rebecca. The Advertising Meeting, that's basically, there's a group of us all sitting in this advertising agency, and we're trying to thrash out a good campaign for Auntie Beryl's Burger Hut. And so through that campaign, a lot of secrets get revealed with the different advertising executives, and a lot of inappropriately crazy behaviour ensues through the meeting. I've also done another one called The Anne Handel interview, which stars Liz Cantor, who's off a rival network.
Right. Sorry, that's the most recent one. I thought it was the advertisement. The Ann Handel with Liz Cantor, yes.
Yeah.
And what is that about?
That one's like a parody of a Tonight Show, like a mock chat show where I'm the interviewer and Ann Handel, Liz Cantor, is the special guest. She's an actress and I'm interviewing. And I take umbrage at her latest project that she's starring in, which is like a Melrose Place type soap opera kind of a thing, and I don't like their seedy behaviour. So I give her I'm at my obnoxious best in that particular one. I give her quite a hard time. So I think people would find that pretty humorous.
And again, you're writing this,
yep.
Producing it, editing it, directing it, starring in it,
yes.
Co-starring in it, and you're Legally Blind.
Yep, that's it.
Magnificent. What's the reaction been? And I don't even know. Do you have many connections within the blind community?
Well, actually, this morning, it was funny. This morning I was asked to be a speaker at a BCA meeting, which is Blind Citizens of Australia meeting. And I was telling somebody there, I said, I'm a really bad blind person because I don't attend any of their meetings and gatherings. Not that I've got anything against them. I think they do wonderful things. Guide Dogs, Vision Australia, BCA. I think they're all wonderful organisations. I just don't go to any of those meetings. I don't hang in those circles. I just I'm busy doing my own thing, working, and it's all about beer nuts, pretty much. So I don't do a lot of that sort of thing. So I'm not good in that regard.
You can put that on your business card, though. Goff, bad blind dude. clearly the BCA, they got in touch with you to speak at an event.
Yes.
Today. And they want you to talk about your productions.
Well, pretty much. They were just obviously, to go back to the I Will Not Go Quietly, the documentary side of things that I did, a lot of people that go to those meetings are struggling with a lot of different issues because mental health problems in the disability community are just through the roof. Like suicide rates are just through the roof with people with a disability because, well, for all the reasons that we went through before. And so a lot of those people in the meeting today, they're older and they're struggling with a lot of different, because a lot of them have lost their sight, you know, in their 30s and 40s and whatnot, and so a lot of them are struggling to cope, and so they have guest speakers in. I was lucky enough, I was very honoured actually that they asked me to come down and talk about how I started up my own business and, you know, how I, you know, contributing to society in the best way that I feel that I can.
Yeah, with tons of energy and having a good time as well. Goff, such a delight to meet you tonight. Keep making films, which obviously you're going to. Grand plans or what in terms of what's next or down the track? What's your big picture idea?
Well, beernutsproductions.com is up and happening, and so I want to get as many people over there as I can, so because the more people that hit up and watch the movies, the more movies I can make. So, yeah, the quicker I can sell some copies, the quicker I can make the next film, and so that's what it's all about. It's just making the next project. The script's already done, just got to get the coin together and get it up and happening. So hopefully that'll be up pretty soon with a bit of luck.
Sounds like a plan. Goff, great to meet you tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rebecca, for having me on.
Beernutsproductions.com. It is pretty easy to remember.